Welcome to South Mecklenburg Presbyterian Church's podcast, where every week we bring you the scripture and sermon from Sunday's worship. We are an inclusive, vibrant faith community located in the Ballantyne neighborhood of Charlotte, North Carolina. We seek to worship, grow, and serve with intention as disciples of Jesus Christ, and we strive to be a place where all are welcomed and made to feel at home. We're members of the Presbyterian Church USA and are led by our pastor, Dr. Matt Brown, and our associate pastor, Dr. Whitney Baer. Please join us for worship every Sunday at 10:10 a.m. in the sanctuary or via live stream at smpchome.org.
Will you join me in prayer? O Lord, your word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. So speak to us now through your holy word, O Lord, and then may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our first reading for this morning is from the 89th Psalm, Psalm 89, verses 1 through 4 and 15 through 18. Let us open our hearts and hear the word of our Lord. I will sing of your steadfast love, O Lord, forever. With my mouth, I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. You have said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to my servant David, I will establish your descendants forever and build your throne for all generations. Happy are those who know the festal shout, who walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. They exult in your name all day long and extol your righteousness. For you are the glory of their strength. And by your favor, our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, our King, to the Holy One of Israel. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our Lord shall stand forever. Let us now turn in the New Testament to the Gospel of Matthew, the 10th chapter, verses 40 through 42. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. Whoever welcomes a prophet in the name of the prophet will receive a prophet's reward. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none will lose their reward." This is the word of the Lord. Willie James Jennings is a noted theologian at Yale Divinity School. His resume, curriculum vitae, gives the impression that he won the Super Bowl for smart people. Yet for all his accomplishments, he was once just a kid helping his mother tend her garden in the backyard of their home in Grand Rapids, Michigan. It was here that a 12-year-old Willie James Jennings had an encounter that would stick with him, even providing grist for his future study and research. Jennings describes his parents as great storytellers, whose wealth of anecdotes carried a few very consistent themes. Foremost among them, though, was Jesus. Jennings says to say they were devout Christians is simply to pale a descriptor. A far more accurate characterization would be there were Ivory, Mary, and Jesus. The stories of Jesus and Israel were so tightly woven together into the stories his parents told of themselves that it took Willie years to separate the biblical figures from the extended family members, or the biblical places of pain from their places of pain. They knew the Bible, but far more importantly, they knew the world through the Bible. Well, being raised in such a framework is what made the garden encounter one day that much more strange and significant. I don't know about you, but having someone suddenly appear in my backyard without notice would certainly startle me and set my antennae toward apprehension. But in 1973, a 12-year-old black adolescent being confronted in his own backyard by two formal-looking white middle-aged males would set off all kinds of alarms. The men introduced themselves to Mary and Willie as members of First Christian Reformed Church down the street. And they proceeded to give what seemed to be a rehearsed speech about what the church was trying to do in the neighborhood and what kind of programs they had for children. Fairly innocuous stuff, probably well-intentioned in the minds of Jennings' visitors, evangelism even. You would hope that every church would be invitational to their surrounding neighborhood. I would certainly hope that we would be. And yet, there was something just a little off in their encounter. Aside from the alarm set off by two white men approaching a black adolescent in 1973, it's a pretty presumptuous move to go unannounced and uninvited into someone's backyard, especially in an era when racial mores gave whites the illusion they had license to transgress boundaries with black people that they would never transgress with white people. Second, in spite of their good intentions, they gave their prescribed speech without any real inquiry about or interest in Mary Jennings' own faith journey. And they spoke to 12-year-old Willie as if he was a kindergartner or a slow learner. So they had no idea that every time sunlight broke through the opening door invading the sacred space of New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, it was probably shining on Mary Jennings. They wouldn't know that after Sunday, after worship, Mary and Ivory would go and visit every person on the shut-in list. If they had asked Mary about her faith journey, her visitors may have left as the one who had learned more about Jesus that day. But they didn't ask and continued on according to their script and left as they came, unawares. Sometimes, oftentimes, even a welcome can be unwelcoming. But you know that, don't you? You've probably felt the sting of the unwelcoming welcome. He's shaking your hands and the words, "So glad to see you," are coming out of his mouth and hanging in the air, but his eyes are focused over your shoulder, afraid to miss a more important target for his attention. Perhaps you've known encounters where you have heard the words, "So good to see you," knowing it to be a lie. No one wants to be a social sideshow, ranking an invitation, "Welcome not included." No one wants to feel on the outside, a third wheel. What does Sheriff Andy Taylor say to Deputy Fife when Barney encourages him to attend a social gathering, big social gathering in town on his own? "Barney, I'm not going to a dance and stand in the stag line with old man Shrimp." No one likes to feel off to the side. Even introverts like to be acknowledged, included, as if the party would be less without you. When Donna and I were young, newly married, we had no money, but we had an education. And so in our minds, being adult and responsible meant making an appointment with a financial planner. I don't know why we thought that. We had no money. I do not know what we thought a financial player could possibly say to us. Well, looking over your portfolio, I've lined out a couple of investments for you to consider, some options. See, according to A, you can either invest your assets in a movie ticket, as long as it's a matinee, or option B, you can go grab dinner at the K&W cafeteria. Anyway, we make the appointment without a portfolio, and we go to a fancy office building in South Park, big reception desk, the receptionist from Central Casting, and we hear those famous words, "Have a seat, I will tell him that you are here, and I know that he will be right with you." You know the drill. We sit down, trying to peer more at ease than we are, silently watching the well-heeled foot traffic go back and forth, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, 20. Okay, the guy's not a heart surgeon, so he can't be stuck in a heart transplant back there. 25 minutes. Clock is ticking toward 30, and simultaneously we look at one another, whispering the words, "Let's get out of here." You know, no harm, no foul. We probably had no business being there in the first place, but most folks know, and everybody hates the feeling of being unacknowledged, unrecognized, unimportant, of low priority, unwelcome. You don't need folks fawning over you, and if you do, well, that's another sermon for another day. But the dignity of being seen, of being regarded as someone whose story is worth hearing, regarded as one whose life matters, the value of that is inestimable. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. And whoever welcomes a righteous person in the name of a righteous person will receive the reward of the righteous. And whoever gives even a cup of cold water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." You ever watch those war movies where the officers and pilots or platoon leaders are gathered in a Quonset hut somewhere, and some general is up front, a big map posted on a display board behind him with a pointer in hand, and he is highlighting the details of their strategy for their impending mission? Well, our text today is an excerpt from that meeting. Jesus is giving his newly appointed apostles the details of their impending mission. He is sending them out. And can't you just see those apostles sitting there out there in those big, high-backed, thickly cushioned seats that they reserve for the pilots in those movies? a cup of steaming black coffee in one hand and a little engineer's pencil in the other, furiously taking notes in a pocket-sized spiral notebook, a pair of Ray-Bans hanging from a breast pocket, giving those side glances to the pilots around them as if to say, "I got your back." This is that meeting. For Peter, Andrew, James, John, Philip, Bartholomew, and all the rest. Part review of tactics, part strategies and procedures, part warning about obstacles and threats, part Newt Rockne win one for the Gipper speech. Jesus is highlighting what it means to be a disciple. Earlier in the chapter, he says, "See, I am sending you out like sheep into the midst of wolves. So be wise as serpents and innocent as doves." And don't you know that just like the war movie, there's some arrogant apostle back in the back throwing shade at Jesus' serious tone. "Whoa, Jesus, aren't you being a little bit melodramatic? Jesus, I mean, who's going to resist my charm? Who's going to resist this good news, this expression of love?" But Jesus knows, doesn't he? Jesus knows that the concept, the theology of welcome is a radical idea. Jesus knows that welcome is universally affirmed and invariably complicated. Welcome. The Greek word at its root is dekomai, to welcome. And very often it means to receive. To receive. What does that imply? Do you remember the Music Man? Robert Preston, Shirley Jones, Ron Howard, i.e. Little Opie. Our younger folks here say, "That's not the cast of the Music Man." I'm old. That was the cast that I knew, okay? But do you remember the song, "The Wells Fargo Wagon"? It probably gives some of our bankers here a headache, but it's a great show tune. "Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a coming down the street. Oh, please let it be for me." There is excitement. There's anticipation in waiting to see what the package will hold. "I got a box of maple sugar on my birthday. In March I got a Gray Mackinac. I got a box of grapefruit from Tampa. Montgomery Ward sent me a bathtub and a cross-cut saw." We're excited. You know what that's like. You see that Amazon truck driving up the street. Whoa, it's here. I thrill Donna. Donna Fritz. Oh no, not another pair of shoes. There is joy. There is hope in anticipation, in discovering what you will receive. "Oh, the Wells Fargo wagon is a coming down the street. I wish I knew what it could be." That's the spirit of receiving, of welcoming, that Jesus is talking about. I remember a season of moodiness early in my ministry. The luster of institutional ministry had corroded a bit. Everybody, it seemed, had something to complain about. And I remember thinking at the time, I should have been a UPS driver, because the people actually anticipate and want to receive what you are bringing them. Granted, there are some things in life you actually don't want to receive: a bill, a summons, a virus. But what joy there can be in the anticipation and the experience of receiving something. What joy there can be in the anticipation and the experience of receiving someone, welcoming someone. And that is true whether you are the one receiving or the one welcoming. Whether you are the one being received or the one bringing the joy. Jesus said, "Whoever welcomes you welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me." Do you hear what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying that a primary way to experience his presence in your midst, the way to know that God is in attendance, is in the act of welcoming and being welcomed. So why is welcome such a hard concept for us? It is hard. Well, for one thing, it requires vulnerability and curiosity on the part of both the one welcoming and the one being welcomed. And it is a challenge to find two people in that same place at the same time. Living in this age of distrust, we have built up our armor to deflect and defend against difference. We have developed this hypersensitive radar that overinflates everything into a threat. Welcome? But what if he's a Republican? What if she's a Democrat? What if he is Hindi? What if they are Pentecostal? What if they have an agenda? What are they trying to sell me? She strikes me as mean, just seeing her from a distance. Well, how did he come up with that outfit? She seems standoffish. He looks creepy. We measure, we stereotype, we categorize, we go to great lengths to arrive at that comfortable place called suspicion. But to welcome someone requires us to lose at least some of that armor. To receive someone requires a measure of curiosity. Welcome necessitates never wanting to leave an encounter without having learned something. Not for purposes of judgment, mind you, but for purposes of understanding. We are always less inclined to judge someone, avoid someone, ignore someone, if we understand them. If we possess an empathy for their journey, a genuine interest in their story. Which means that there is no welcome at all if it's all about you. The problem in Willie James Jennings' garden that day in his backyard wasn't that the visitors were offering information about the church that they loved and served. The problem was that they had no genuine interest in the story of Mary Jennings, the gifts of Willie Jennings. They came as they left, wrapped up in their own story, their own worldview. they were more than willing to share, but not patient enough to listen and learn. Have you ever experienced an unbalanced conversation? You know, you mention an experience or introduce a thought, and the other person is off to the races, regaling you with their story, their insights, their child's genius, their brushes with celebrity, their complaints, their world. The spotlight has narrowed, shining on them alone. And you are in the darkened audience. They don't pause for your insight or your experience. And they leave without having learned or understood anything about you. If you leave an encounter without having learned something, understanding something from a different perspective, you haven't welcomed anyone. But what if you knew that every person you met had a story to tell, a story worth hearing and understanding? Jesus said, whoever welcomes you welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes the one who sent me. What if you understood that with every person you meet, there is the opportunity to encounter God? Without fail, I learned something at a funeral. I may have known the deceased, worked with the deceased, laughed with the deceased, baptized the deceased, but meeting with a family upon their death, I learn a lot. I hear stories. I learn about events, encounters, achievements, failures, obstacles overcome, suffering endured, triumphs celebrated. I can't help but think of Bob's mother. What a story. What a witness. This is a woman who saw her loved one go off to war and die almost immediately. But rather than living in bitterness, she dove in. She became a nurse for the military. She wound up caring for and protecting prisoners of war, the enemy. Stories like that. How are our lives less if we don't take the time to listen to them? Everybody has a story. Are we listening? If we want to experience God, we have to listen. We have to learn. We have to welcome. There is depth and breadth in every life that remains hidden, if not unearthed, through curiosity, hospitality, and welcome. If we don't welcome, if we don't ask, we'll never learn, we'll never understand, and invariably, we will miss an encounter with God. Amen.